morning.
Good morning.
We're not on yet.
Are we on now? Yes, right. The notices for the coming week are as follows. Please take note of the first one, that during the month of August there will be no home group Bible study and no prayer meeting. That doesn't mean to say you can't read your Bible, and it doesn't mean to say you can't pray for people. It's just there won't be a whole meeting together. The church cafe will be held on Friday at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service is led by John Pang, and the worship warriors will meet in the Jubilee Hall at 11 a.m. A note from the Trust Secretary, could the trustees please meet after the service this morning? And that's from Rod. So if you're a trustee, can we please meet this morning? It's my pleasure to welcome Jeff this morning. He comes anyway, but it's nice to welcome him. It's nice to welcome him as leading our service and preaching this morning. Thank you, Jeff.
I'm not sure how to take that. He comes anyway. Whether we want him to or not. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service. I want to start with a modern day parable. There was a man in his car driving home. It was night and he was very unhappy. He hated his life. He really hated his life. And he was in his car and he's not a spiritual person, but he thought, I'm going to pray to God. So he says, God, I hate my life. Give me a new life. And would you know it, God responds. He says, I've got a new life for you. And the man says, that's great. Let me have it. He says, but first, you don't know the price. How much have you got? And the man says, all I've got is this £20. Perfect. That's the price of your new life, £20. Well, the man says, hang on a minute. If I give you this £20, you see this car I'm driving? It's low on petrol. And I won't be able to get any petrol. And God says, good point. The price has just gone up. It's now £20 and your car. And the man says, well, if you take my car, how am I going to get to work in the morning? Good point, says God. The price has just gone up again. It's £20, your car, and your job. And the man says, well, if you take my job, how am I going to pay the mortgage? Oh, you've got a mortgage, says God. You're a homeowner. The price has just gone up again. It's now £20, your car, your job, and your house. And the man says, well, if you take my house, where are my wife and children going to live? Right, good point. The price has just gone up again. It's now £20, your car, your job, your house, and your wife and family. At this point, the man thinks, I'm not going to say anymore. Yeah, stay silent. And God says, right, I'm about to give you a new life, but I need you to do something for me. Can you do that? And the man says, mm-hmm. God says, you see this £20? It's not your £20. It's my £20. And as it's my £20, I'm going to give it you to spend. But as it's my £20, you can only spend it on what I want you to spend it on. Can you do that? And the man says, mm-hmm. You see this car? It's not your car anymore. It's my car. But I'm going to let you drive it. But you can only drive it to places where I want to go. Can you do that? And the man says, mm-hmm. Right. And you see this job? It's not your job anymore. It's my job. But I want you to go there and turn up. But I want you to do business how God wants you to do business. Do you think you can do that? And the man says, mm-hmm. We see this house. It's not your house anymore. It's my house. But I want you to live in it. But I want you to do the things that are appropriate for God's house. Do you think you can do that? And the man says, mm-hmm. Now, you see this wife and children? They're my wife and children, not yours. But I want you to live with them and take care of them as is appropriate for God's family. Do you think you can do that? And the man says, mm-hmm. Great, says God. Now, here's your £20, here's your car, here's your job, here's your house, here's your wife and family. and here's your new life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts overflowing with gratitude. Thank you for the gift of life and the blessings that surround us each day. Your love sustains us, guiding our steps and filling our spirits with hope. We are grateful for family and friends and the community that lifts us up in times of need. Thank you for the beauty of creation that speaks to your majesty and grace. Every sunrise reminds us of your faithfulness. We ask that you be with those who are not here today for whatever reason. Help them to feel your presence. Especially be with Lynn today, who's back in hospital. May you be with the doctors and nurses that take care of her and fill her with your presence and love. And also we pray for Wendy, who's going for a brain scan today. May everything turn out just as it should by your will, Lord. And as we gather today in worship, may our hearts unite in praise. Help us to carry this spirit of thankfulness into our daily walk, sharing your love with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to sing our first hymn, hymn number 579, We Have Come Into This Place. Let us pray. Our Father and Father in heaven, glory to you. We gather here today as your cherished children. Exactly. Drawn together by the love that flows from your heart, we come with open minds and humble spirits, ready to receive your truth and grace. Lord, awaken our hearts to the beauty of your presence among us. Let our worship rise like sweet incense before you. As we lift our voices in praise, may we cast aside every worry and distraction. Fill this place with your peace that surpasses all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Together, we seek to honour you through song and prayer, united in spirit and purpose. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Oh, we shall sing again. Hymn number 1377, Jesus Be the Centre. May we take up the offering, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every good gift you give us. And in return, we offer this meagre offering, although it's meagre to you because you own everything. But let these gifts and these people here do work for your kingdom and spread your word amongst the community. In Jesus' name, amen. Our reading today is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And let us sing again. Hymn number 441, Only by Grace Can We Enter.
Thank you.
have a moment in prayer before we take communion. Merciful God, as we come to take part in communion, to take the bread and wine, to receive your body and blood, we ask that you humble our minds and prepare our hearts. Lord, help us to understand these symbols of your forgiveness and grace. Search us to see that we come in a proper manner with reverence and gratitude. We give thanks for the sacrifice of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Fill us with the Spirit as we partake in this communion. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul says this, "For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May we take this bread, the body of Jesus Christ, with thankful and grateful hearts. Amen. Now we may also take the cup, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us retain the cup and we'll drink together. And we do this in remembrance of his wonderful sacrifice for us. Amen. Let us drink and be thankful. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that we may live and be righteous in your sight. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Before we sing our next hymn, I just want to read the verses because they stood out to me, and that's why I picked this one. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as onward I go. Shall we sing it now? Who has ever had a song stuck in their head? Yeah. You just suddenly find yourself singing it when you're not concentrating on anything.
Yeah.
And it seems to be on repeat, doesn't it? Over and over again. It's annoying. Carol and I watch a programme called Grace. It's a police drama. And every time the title comes up, we sing, "Only by Grace Can We Enter." and I've ruined it because we've sung it now. And that usually lasts till bedtime, and sometimes when we get up, we're still singing it. It's very annoying. So imagine your mind is like a digital playlist. What plays on repeat when no one's watching? Is it uplifting? Is it true? Or is it just noise? So if our minds are our digital playlist, our thoughts are the songs. The more often we hum a certain idea, whether it's worry, shame, jealousy, or hope, the more it plays on a loop. Psychologists call this an earworm. It's a rather grotesque picture. I think I prefer a song going around my head. But that's the power of repetition. The mind clings to what it rehearses. Mark Twain once said, "The real life is led in the head." Scripture tells us through Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The world has a mould that it tries to put us into. Culture, fear, media, ego, they all press in. We should not conform, but transform. A spiritual metamorphosis, if you like, from the inside out. This transformation is by the renewing of our minds. For what we hear repeatedly, we remember. And what we remember, we reflect. And what we reflect upon, we eventually become. Lao Tzu, the founder of Taoism, put it this way. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Listen to what Jesus says. "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Here's another way of looking at it. Imagine your mind as a garden. What you plant, whether it's truth or lies, beauty or bitterness, will grow. What are you watering today? I like what Emperor Marcus Aurelius said. "The soul becomes dyed with the colour of our thoughts." Isn't that poetic? The soul becomes dyed with the colour of our thoughts. So you see, thinking isn't passive. Our thoughts are not passengers on life's journey. They're the steering wheel. And so in Philippians 4:8, this passage we're looking at today, the Apostle Paul hands us a divine playlist for the Christian mind, the means to which we can renew our minds. And I'll remind you of it. He says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." What Paul is offering isn't casual, it's a spiritual strategy. For the mind is where peace is either won or lost. He's given us an eightfold filter, a divine checklist, if you like. We'll go through them. Number one, whatever is true, yes. I've got it in the right order. Truth is more than factual accuracy. It's alignment with God's reality. In a world of curated images and half-truths, misinformation and disinformation, with AI, CGI, and what other eyes there might be, Paul calls us to anchor our minds in what is ultimately real, ultimately true. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So to think on what is true is to dwell on Christ himself. John 8:32 says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So are we rehearsing lies about ourselves or others? Are we letting fear masquerade as fact? Truth is like a compass. It doesn't change with our feelings, but it always points us home. So think on these things. Number two, whatever is noble. The Greek word used is semnos, which can be translated as honourable, dignified, or worthy of respect. Noble thoughts are rooted in purpose. Noble thoughts elevate us. They are not flippant or trivial, but draw our hearts toward what matters: justice, mercy, love. And Micah 6:8 echoes this: do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. What fills our minds today? Social media? Gossip? Sarcasm? Are those things noble? Would you share these thoughts with Jesus? Here's an analogy. Noble thoughts are like a water from a high mountain spring, pure, elevated, and flowing from a higher place. They refresh the soul and nourish everything downstream. But when our thoughts come from low, muddy ground, polluted by fear, pride, or cynicism, they contaminate everything they touch. Philippians 4:8 calls us to draw our thinking from the high places, from what is noble, what is worthy of honour, so that what flows from our minds into our actions brings life, not decay. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Do you know why cathedral ceilings are so high? To make us look up to God, to look for higher things. If true sorts out what is real, noble helps us dwell on what is worthy. So think on these things. Number three, whatever is right. If we align our thinking with whatever is right, we are aligning them with justice and righteousness. This is alignment with God's standards, moral thinking, and integrity. James 1:5 says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Doing the right thing, even when no one's looking, that's integrity. That's right thinking. It's not just about what works, it's about what's right. Someone once said, "Wrong is wrong, even if everyone is doing it, but right is right, even if no one is doing it." 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, so that we can take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Right thinking is like a plumb line, showing when our inner thoughts are out of line. Think on these things. Number four, whatever is pure. Purity means something is unpolluted, single-hearted, and free from additives such as selfish motives or ambition. Purity isn't naivety, it's clarity. Just as pure water is crystal clear, our thoughts should be clear and pure, focused on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, and so on. Psalm 24, verses 3 to 4 asks, "Who may stand in his holy place? One with clean hands and a pure heart." And Ephesians says this about purity: But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity, because these are improper for God's holy people. That might be speaking of actions, but like I said earlier, thoughts lead to actions. Matthew 5:8 brings this message home. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Think on these things. Number 5. Whatever is lovely. This might be the gentlest yet most powerful invitation in the whole verse. The Greek word used here is prosphiles, and can be translated as pleasing, amiable, or that which draws forth love. It's about thoughts that draw the heart towards affection, compassion, and beauty. It's not a surface level loveliness, it's the kind of loveliness that softens hardened hearts. It delights without exploiting, but uplifts. It nurtures tenderness. Lovely thoughts mend what is frayed. We should ask ourselves, what am I dwelling on that stirs love in me? What awakens gentleness? Not just in theory, but in action. That's whatever is lovely. Psalm 27 verse 4 says this, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Isn't that a lovely thought? Lovely thoughts are like flowers in a war zone. They don't deny the battle, they defy it. So think on such things. Number 6, whatever is admirable. The Greek word used here is euphemos, and can mean of good repute or commendable. This isn't about being liked. It's about thinking thoughts worth sharing, repeating, even imitating. Think of people you admire. What do they dwell on? Because we often become like the people we admire. Are our thoughts the kind we want others to overhear? Proverbs 22 verse 1 tells us, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than gold or silver. Peter tells us to live such good lives among the pagans that they see our good works and glorify God. So let us keep our thoughts on admirable things. Because admirable thoughts are like lighthouses. They guide others by their steady glow. So think on these things. Number 7, if anything is excellent. In the Greek, this can mean virtue or moral excellence. If anything is excellent, casts a wide net. Things such as art, ethics, devotion, bravery, beauty, all reflect the divine. There's not a lot more to say on excellence, except this. Pursue excellence. Not perfectionism, but wholeness. Let your mind feast on what cultivates virtue. Think on these things. Number 8, if anything is praiseworthy. This isn't about what is good. It's about what is so good it deserves to be lifted up. It's about recognition, praiseworthy thoughts that focus on God's handiwork. It's about gratitude, thoughts that lead to thanksgiving, that remind us of what's worth celebrating, not just critiquing. And it's about alignment. If it's something God would smile at, something that reflects his character, it's praiseworthy. Listen to Psalm 145:3. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. A praiseworthy mindset is one that finds reasons to rejoice, even in the ordinary. Thessalonians 5 verses 16 to 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Think on these things. Now we have these 8 filters to help us think. We need to cultivate a habit to renew our minds. But renewal isn't instant. It takes time, a repeated effort. Let's look at four things we can do to try to help us do this. Number one, awareness, or name that noise. Before we can change our thoughts, we need to observe them. We need to spend time, set aside 5 minutes a day, to take inventory of recurring thoughts. Are they rooted in fear, comparison, judgment, hope, God? Maybe we could try journaling, noting down these thoughts. And we should pray through Psalm 139, verse 23, that says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Number two, we should surrender. Let the Spirit curate. Transformation doesn't come from ourselves alone. It needs to be a Spirit-led renovation. We need to invite the Holy Spirit each morning to filter our thoughts before they take root. And surrender doesn't mean passivity. It means letting God be the architect of your mind. As I've already quoted 2 Corinthians 10:5, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Number three, replace. Swap the track. Philippians 4:8 isn't just a filter, it's a playlist. Every untruth, God provides a better song. Here is something I saw in a YouTube video about a guy who was talking about renewing our minds, and it went like this. Quote, "The enemy calls you by your sin. God calls you by name. The enemy calls you a mistake. God calls you a masterpiece. The enemy says that you should be afraid. God says, I did not give you a spirit of fear. The enemy says you're alone. But God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's why it's so important to have a renewing of your mind in God's word, in scripture, in prayer, and with other people around you. Because when you get isolated, when you get alone, all those voices from the enemy start to leak in and start to point out all of your flaws. But then you have to get back to scripture, because God's saying, no, 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 you're missing the point. Yes, you have scars, you have flaws, but you're not defined by your scars. You're defined by mine. End quote. To follow on from that, let's put scripture with it all. So if you're thinking, I'm worthless, swap that with Psalm 139, verse 14. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Amen. If you're thinking to yourself, I'll never change, swap that with 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. And if you're thinking to yourself, I'm overwhelmed, swap that with Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. We could go on ad infinitum. So let us create a truth playlist. We can do this by using sticky notes, phone reminders, verse cards, etc. Whatever keeps the truth on repeat, let's swap the track. And talking of repeat, number four, repeat. Build muscle memory. Renewal isn't a one-time only, I've renewed my mind, that's that done and dusted. It's an ongoing work on it every day, renewing of the mind. Thought pathways are like trails in a forest. The more often you walk them, the easier they are to follow. New trails need time, but eventually they become the default. And scripture tells us in Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouths. Meditate on it day and night. So, to put that into practice, maybe during the week, choose a whatever is thought, whether it's whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is loving, and let it echo in your mind until it reshapes your responses. Let's recap the four steps for renewing our minds. One, awareness. Name that noise. Observe our thoughts. Two, surrender. Let the Spirit curate. We can't do this on our own. We need a Spirit-led renovation. Three, swap the track. Let God give us a better song. And four, repeat or build muscle memory, because the mind clings to what it rehearses. You are the DJ of your inner life, but not alone. The Spirit leans over your shoulder to whisper, try this track instead. When you tune your thoughts to truth, nobility, beauty, and praise, you begin to echo heaven, not just with words, but with presence. The renewed mind doesn't just change you, it changes how you see others. It softens judgment, deepens compassion, and helps you hear the world's noise without being a part of it. Of course, there is only one person to whom all these attributes are fulfilled, Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is noble. He is right. He is pure. He is lovely. He is admirable. He is excellent and praiseworthy beyond all measure. Think on Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, may our minds be a sanctuary, not a battleground. May our thoughts host the lovely, the just, the true. And may the Spirit remix our inner world with songs of peace that carry us through the shadows and the sunshine of our lives. In the name of the one who renews, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. And we'll sing our final hymn, hymn number 42, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, may we go from this place filled with your spirits, with joy and gladness in our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.